The Man with the Watches. There are many who will still bear in mind the singular circumstances which, under the heading of the Rugby Mystery, filled many columns of the Daily Press in the spring of the year 1892. Coming as it did at a period of exceptional dullness, it attracted perhaps rather more attention than it deserved. But it offered to the public that mixture of the whimsical and the tragic which is most stimulating to the popular imagination. Interest dropped, however, when, after weeks of fruitless investigation, it was found that no final explanation of the facts was forthcoming, and the tragedy seemed from that time to the present to have finally taken its place in the dark catalogue of inexplicable and unexpiated crimes. A recent communication, the authenticity of which appears to be above question, has, however, thrown some new and clear light upon the matter. Before laying it before the public, it would be as well, perhaps, that I should refresh their memories as to the singular facts upon which this commentary is founded. These facts were briefly as follows. At 5 o'clock on the evening of the 18th of March, in the year already mentioned, a train left Euston Station for Manchester. It was a rainy, squally day, which grew wilder as it progressed. So it was by no means the weather in which anyone would travel who was not driven to do so by necessity. The train, however, is a favourite one among Manchester businessmen who are returning from town, for it does the journey in 4 hours and 20 minutes, with only 3 stoppages upon the way. In spite of the inclement evening, it was therefore fairly well filled upon the occasion of which I speak. The guard of the train was a tried servant of the company, a man who had worked for 22 years without blemish or complaint. His name was John Palmer. The station clock was upon the stroke of 5, and the guard was about to give the customary signal to the engine driver, when he observed 2 belated passengers hurrying down the platform. The one was an exceptionally tall man, dressed in a long black overcoat with Astrakhan collar and cuffs. I have already said the evening was an inclement one, and the tall traveller had the high, warm collar turned up to protect his throat against the bitter March wind. He appeared, as far as the guard could judge by so hurried an inspection, to be a man between 50 and 60 years of age, who had retained a good deal of the vigour and activity of his youth. In one hand he carried a brown leather Gladstone bag. His companion was a lady, tall and erect, walking with a vigorous step which outpaced the gentleman beside her. She wore a long fawn-coloured dust cloak, a black close-fitting toque, and a dark veil which concealed the greater part of her face.